Watcher, and a hugely warm welcome to this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz with me, Mike Wynn. And we're going to start with so-called hard bop.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Mobley with his own compo, B for BB. Although, sadly, I can find no reference to either the B or BB. It's unlikely to be for BB King, as this was recorded by Rudy Van Gelder in July 56. This recording session was originally under the leadership of bebop pioneer drummer Kenny Clarke, but has subsequently been reissued under Mobley's name and that of trumpeter Donald Byrd, who's obviously also on this recording. So we're just missing the pianist and the bassist, and they were Barry Harris and Doug Watkins, respectively. Mobley was a founder member of the Jazz Messengers under then the joint leadership of Art Blakey and Horace Silver. Doug Watkins was also in that initial lineup. And within less than 6 months of the creation of the Jazz Messengers, Donald Byrd had replaced the original trumpeter Kenny Dorham. So these guys knew each other well. And of course they were in the vanguard of the hard bop style. It's a piano solo next. Recorded in Oslo, April 71, and released on the ECM label. The album was called, quite simply, Piano Improvisations Volume 1. It's by Chick Corea, and that's from his Where Are You Now suite, subtitled A Suite for Eight Pitchers, and that was Pitcher Number 2. Straight from that to Ellington. We'll a very, very seldom heard Ellington song, Batto, which had some resemblance to Squeeze Me. It's an Ellington compo, but the arrangement was by Wild Bill Davis, who also played the organ. And the fun of that song, for me, was the amount of piano solo time on this solitary recording of this song. Recorded in December 1970, so the band is without its most distinctive voice, as Johnny Hodges had died some 5 months earlier. But it's still a formidable lineup, and the Duke clearly enjoyed himself on that number. You'll know this next TV theme song very well. In fact, the leader will help us as he gives you the title.
Now we're going to play a thing which you'll recognize because I know, being cultured people, you listen to the Saturday morning cartoon shows, and there's one called The Flintstones, which happens to be a hell of a swinging tune, so that's why we do it.
Was guitarist George Barnes live in July 77 at the Willows Theatre, Concord in California, in great form, great humour, great health, or so it seemed, as within 6 weeks of this gig he died. His first recordings were with the great blues men Big Bill Brunsey, Washboard Sam, Blind John Davis, and then, after leading his own quartet in the mid-30s, he became a staff musician at NBC and then later ABC, and also became a contractor guitarist and arranger for Decca Records. He's played with them all, including many non-jazz names: Sam Cooke, Bob Dylan, Barbara Streisand, Sinatra, Perry Como. Amazingly, with all that history behind him, he was still a mere 56 years old when he died. As you know, we've just heard the theme from The Flintstones. Duncan James, rhythm guitar, Dean Reilly, bass, and Benny Barth, drums. Here's Diz. from a recording date in May-June 56 that produced two albums. First was Dizzy Gillespie, World Statesman, and this, the second one, Dizzy in Greece, no matter that it was, in fact, recorded in New York. The cover of this Verve album shows Diz in the traditional Greek dress with big pom-poms on his shoes. These recordings were really to celebrate, slash cash in, you choose which, to celebrate, let's say, the first ever State Department-sponsored tour in jazz history. There have been many since the mid-50s, cultural visits to promote good relations with the host nation and the US, and they, by and large, succeeded. So off goes Diz with a big band, and his visit includes Athens and coincides with riots and strong anti-American feeling. The local newspapers were asking why the US was sending jazz instead of guns to help them take Cyprus back from the Brits. So Diz starts his concert, much crowd jeering and booing, and then they start to play. Silence, followed by a roar of approval from the crowd, and at the end of the gig, Diz is carried shoulder high through the Athens streets for half an hour. So yes, the concert did promote goodwill. Where are you now, Diz? Greece needs you right now. That was Grooving High, a Gillespie compo arranged here by A.K. Salim, and it featured Phil Woods on alto and Diz on trumpet. We've mentioned this next guy in passing just last week. Thank you. Recorded October 57 at the Contemporary Records Studio in LA, the LP is the whole of the Richard Rodgers Lorenz Hart musical score of Pal Joey. The group, the trio, are billed as Andre Previn and his pals, Joey obviously not being one of them, as it's Red Mitchell bass and Shelly Man drums. The original show Pal Joey premiered on Broadway on Christmas night 1940, but we best remember the Frank Sinatra film version, of course. Some of the songs have become standards, I Could Write a Book, What is a Man, and especially Bewitched. We've just heard Take Him. Good to hear, and in fact remind ourselves of what a substantial jazz pianist Previn was in those days. His later classical successes have somewhat overshadowed his earlier jazz work. This next song is beautiful. Any and all versions of it are, but especially this one. The fabulous Swedish altoist Arne Domnerus. That was in August 74 at Spanga Church in Stockholm. And the well-known, certainly in Swedish circles, organist Gustav Jokvist. He was the main organist at Stockholm Cathedral and chief conductor of the Swedish radio choir. Domnerus is very well known to us, and his work is consistently good. But somehow this album, and a sister one of just him and an organist, seemed to set a new standard for hauntingly beautiful alto playing. He died in 2008 and is still sadly missed. That was the spiritual, Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. This next one, at least for me, is also haunting, but in a totally different way. See what you think. A newcomer to our show. The leader of this quintet is altoist Andrew Rathbun. Toronto-born, he has a doctorate in jazz arts from the Manhattan School of Music and now teaches jazz studies at the Western Michigan University and has time to make records. This one's recorded for Steeplechase at the end of May 2012, and it's all of his own compos, that one being Counterpoint. Rathbun on alto, Taylor Haskins makes a guest appearance on trumpet on that track, and we're just getting used to Taylor being a girl's name, and up pops Beefy Haskins. Phil Markovitz, piano, Jay Anderson, bass, and Bill Stewart, drums, and those last three are Steeplechase regulars. This next album is entitled Philadelphia Beat, but it's Bach. It's a pretty even-handed trio. All three seem to get equal billing, but I'd say Albert Tutti Heath, the veteran drummer, is the leader amongst the co-leaders, if that makes any sense. It's his photo on the front cover of this October 2014 recording session in Philadelphia. Tutti would have been close to his 80th birthday, and he, of course, is the youngest of the three famous jazz-playing Heath brothers, Ethan Iverson piano, Ben Street bass, and I don't think their combined ages would reach anything like Tutti's. That was Fatschid auf, Ruft und die Stimme, or words to that effect. Maybe. Next, a bassist-led quintet. Thank you. We seem to have a lot of fairly recent recordings this week. It's unintentional, but it's reassuring to hear so many new names playing such good music. It augurs well for the future of our music. Bassist Ron McClure was the leader on this Jan 2012 Steeplechase session. He worked with Buddy Rich and Wynton Kelly. In fact, he replaced the legendary Paul Chambers in Kelly's trio, and lots of other big names. Then he went into jazz rock, and he joined Blood, Sweat and Tears, but luckily came back to jazz. McClure would have been 71 when he made this album. The violinist was 19, Gabe Teresiano, and the names get harder now. Chad Lefkowitz-Brown on tenor, he was all of 22, Mike Eckroff piano, and Sharif Taher on drums, and they were both in their early 20s. The song was called 10 or More, highlighting the number of years it had taken McClure to perfect these compositions. A guitar blues coming up.
And that was
was Kenny Burrell in December 2002 in Calabasas, California, with his own compo Blue Guitar Blues. Yes, he is playing a blue guitar. He says it features his favourite string, the B string, tuned to the pitch of B natural, which, and here I'm quoting, but it's a bit of a logic jump, I think, it's something we need more of in life, love and music. And yes, he is referring to the B string. I have to say, I'd call it crisp and clean guitar playing. Loved it. Roberto Miranda, bass, and Sherman Ferguson, drums. Regular listeners will know that every week we feature a mere snippet of our theme Milestones with a big band version led by Wes Montgomery and Jimmy Smith. Well, here's another big band playing it.
Thank you.
Robbie Rich Big Band on a recently released album from their live gig at Birdland 77-ish. One of his sax players, Alan Gauvin, recorded many of their live gigs over his, Alan Gauvin's, three-year period in the band, 76 to 79. And this is a band that toured incessantly, so you can imagine the countless hours of music he recorded, not all of which he would have recorded successfully, I must say. This was one of the best of Buddy's big bands. It picked up the nickname The Killer Force, and I was lucky enough to see them live a couple of times. That was Milestones, of course. And another live gig to close out this week's show. As much of this tenor man Scott Hamilton's number as we can fit in, recorded live at Smalls in New York in Feb 2013. Yes, more recent recordings. Rosano Sportiello piano, Hassan Shako bass and Chuck Riggs drums. It's an Errol Garner compo, and it's exceptionally good advice. Shake it, don't break it. Sorry to have to fade out that fabulous Scott Hamilton number, but as always, I really hope you've had fun listening and that you'll be rejoining me, Mike Wynn, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Keep well.